The House Revenue Committee, welcome everybody here. Sorry you missed the punchline. We have before us, I want to start with a very quick, I hope, work session on Senate Bill 228 that we have back with us. Committee, if you recall, we sent this to the floor and we brought it back with an amendment that turned out not to be quite the right amendment, so we've had the amendment redone. Mazin, will you please tell us what we're doing with this?
Yes, Mr. Chief, members of the committee, the Dash 7 amendment is a compilation of three different amendments. The Dash 7 first includes the addition to the information that is required and given to the locals with income and wages or net earnings from self-employment that would be needed for especially after Measure 28 vote for the county and Multnomah County and City. And then you have a second amendment that is within the A7 that protects the confidentiality of the employment reports. So not all the reports are to be transferred or disclosed by the department. And then the last section, the Section 7, puts an effective date on the bill, so it's 91 days after sine die, so the implementation could become.
Okay. Deborah, you want to come just for a second? I see these Dash A7s were dated yesterday. Have you had a chance to look at them?
Just this morning, Mr. Chair.
Do they work?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
They allow you to provide the information?
Yes, Mr.
That,
Chair.
That Multnomah County needs, but only the information Multnomah County needs and otherwise protect confidentiality?
Yes.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, the A7 is dated yesterday, but the A7 became yesterday just for the
yeah, I understand. Okay.
For the effective clause, but the other ones are okay.
All right. I just want to make sure that administratively you are okay with that.
We're fine.
Okay. Chair would move the A7 amendments to Senate Bill 228. Is there any discussion? Any objection? Okay. The A7s are in. We don't have any other amendments this morning, right? Okay, we can send this back out.
Yes.
All right. The chair would move Senate Bill 228 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion on that motion? Please call the roll.
Representative Barnhart?
Aye.
Berger?
Aye.
Barr?
Aye.
Kapp?
Aye.
Hopkins?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Berger?
Aye.
Williams?
Aye.
Fairchild?
Aye. Senate Bill 228 goes to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Somebody want to carry this? Representative Barnhart? Sure. All right. We'll close the work session on Senate Bill 228. Next committee, we have some informational presentations on the impact of the federal law changes and the impact on the Multnomah County tax local. Multnomah County local tax levy. And I'll apologize in advance. I'll be leaving shortly before 10. I've got a speak at a group at 10 o'clock, and that's why I wanted to get the work session done. But Elizabeth, let's turn it over to you, I guess. Paul, is that it?
Okay. Well, minus $8 million.
That's money because they get a deduction on their Oregon return for taxes.
If we bring the lights down, too, that'll help, Kathy.
That makes sense.
I hadn't thought of it.
No, I hadn't either.
Well, almost.
Almost. It's over. Is it my eyes, Mr. Chairman?
Well, it looks like the page is not entirely flat, but you can do a little better.
Flat page.
Okay, good. You've got it in front of us. We've got it in front of us.
Chairman Shetterly and committee members, for the record, I'm Elizabeth Martin-Mahar with the Legislative Revenue Office. Yeah, you do have these pages in front of you, so I'm just going to briefly go through some of the final versions of the federal law changes that has just been enacted in H.R. 2. And so from the, I know we've had a lot of discussions on this with the disconnect bill, but just so everyone's clear, what kind of finally came out of these, of HDR 2 is, to begin with, a reduction in the tax rates for capital gains and dividends. Now, all along, when we were having discussions in the House, it was on dividends exclusions and excluding dividends from our taxable income base. But what actually happened then at the federal level was just a reduction in the federal tax rate for dividends and for capital gains. So that's the important difference to keep in mind. Currently, capital gains that are long-term, in which people have held them for more than a year, those capital assets are subject to a maximum tax rate of 20% and 10% if the individuals are in the 10% and 15% tax brackets. So now what the federal government did is they reduced this 10% tax rate down to 5% for 2003 through tax year 2007. And then they have the 10% tax rate is reduced to 0% in 2008 for 1 year. And then in 2009, it'll go back to the 10%. Okay, so there's sunsets all over this federal legislation. As I begin to go through it, you'll see that. And then the 20% rate then is reduced to 15%. Okay, so that is really more of the upper income federal taxpayers who pay the 20%. Now, what they did, instead of giving any dividends exclusion, they went and now are going to be mirroring dividends to have the same tax rate as capital gains. So under current law, stock dividends, once they're distributed to the shareholders, then they are just included in the taxpayer's total income, and they're just taxed at the same tax rate that the any other type of income would be taxed at. But now with dividends, they're going to be split out here and have the 10% and 20%, but with this temporary reduction, they'll be reduced to 5% and 0% for 2008, and the 20% will be down to 15% for 2003 through 2008. So basically, that is just a rate reduction. It's going to lower people's federal taxable liability, but it's not going to directly cause us to have a negative or loss in revenue because it's not an exclusion from the taxable income.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Does anybody know why they did that 10% for 1 year, zero, and bounce back?
Well, isn't it because they were limited to how much they'd agreed it was going to cost? And so they had to put these odd sunsets in it to limit the cost of it.
Yeah, the short way of saying that is sausage.
Yeah.
So as you'll see, there's all sorts of different sunsets in this bill. This one actually has one of the longer sunsets, the tax rates on capital gains and dividends. So now when we move here to the second section, which is the ones that are accelerating some previously enacted tax reductions, and these are dating back to the Economic Growth and Tax Relief Reconciliation Act of 2001. So this was the first big tax cut that we saw in 2001, and these are just kind of accelerating temporarily some of these tax cuts. So to begin with here, you've got increase in the child credit by $400 for 2003 and 2004. Now, under current law, we are at $600 for the child credit. This is increasing it to $1,000 for 2 years, and then in 2005, it goes back. And it would be at $700 in 2005. And then in 2010, that's when it actually hits $1,000. So it's just kind of like you're accelerating that $1,000 for 2 years, and then it goes back to its original schedule of $700. And so I don't know if you've been hearing some of the discussions and stuff, too, that have come out about how the child credit was not affecting certain taxpayers between, like, $10,000 and $25,000 in income. The reason why that is just because they don't have enough tax liability that they can actually get a $400 check. And so this is not a refundable credit. That's the important point to recognize, that the child credit is not refundable. Now, we also have these accelerations of the marriage penalty relief for tax year 2003 and 2004. To begin with, you have the standard deduction for married taxpayers is going to then be twice the standard deduction amount for singles. Okay, so again, that's going to happen for 2003 and 2004, and then it reverts back in 2005. So in 2005, it will not be twice will not be twice the for married, it will not be twice that of singles. And 2009 is when this is scheduled to be twice. The married standard deduction is scheduled to be twice the single deduction. And then next we see expanding the size of the 15% income tax bracket for joint returns to equal twice the width of the single returns. And again, this is just for 2003 and 2004, and then in 2005 it reverts back. And then again in C here, this is accelerating the increase in taxable income levels of the 10% rate brackets for, again, just 2 years, 2003 and 2004. We're moving up from $6,000 to $7,000 and for single returns, and joint returns $12,000 to $14,000. And then again in 2005, it reverts back. Now, D here is really the only one in which there is not a sunset on it. It is accelerating the reductions in the regular tax rates that were originally scheduled for 2004 and 2006. So those rate increases, or those rate reductions, are going to be 10%, 15%, 25%, 28%, 33%, 35%.
Mr. Chairman,
yeah.
I can only say that Representative Farr's musical tribute to this code seemed rather appropriate. As I was trying to follow this along, I just want to point out that as people have suggested that our disconnecting from the federal government might make things confusing. everybody's going to need to have a scorecard, I think, to keep track of when the things they're taking are going to disappear on them again.
Okay, the final provision here that's within this temporary group is the increase in the alternative minimum tax exemption. And again, this is just for 2003 and 4, and it reverts back in 2005. So that these are basically, again, all the things that are going to be reducing federal taxable liability. And so that feeds back through to Oregon as far as having, for certain taxpayers, having less of a federal tax subtraction. So they don't pay as much federal taxes, so when it is fed through as a deduction, they do not get as large a deduction. Now, in this third section here, these are the depreciation changes. And these are the incentives for businesses. These are the things that, as we remember with 2186, we connected to these depreciation changes. So these will be now an effect that we will be connecting to, and they will have a reduction here in Oregon in taxable income. Now, to begin with, this is what A was not something that was part of the original House version, so we never discussed this provision at all. It just kind of came up during the conference committee and some of the changes that occurred at the end. And this was an additional bonus depreciation deduction, and it's equal to 50% of the adjusted basis of the qualifying property. And the property has to be acquired after May 5th of 2003 and before January 1st of 2005. Now, you remember we had the whole discussion all about, you know, the 2002 federal law changes in the Job Creation and Worker Assistance Act. That was the original bonus depreciation, and that was the 30% bonus depreciation. This has expanded the bonus depreciation and not made it 30%, but made it 50%, and then it has also expanded the number of years because that was supposed to be sunsetted now in 2004. And this would now go on until January 1st, 2005. So the only depreciation component that we discussed originally on the plan was B, which is the increase in the Section 179 expensing to $100,000 for property placed in service in 2003, 2004, and 2005. Again, this goes away after 2005. And under current law, we have a limit of $25,000. This is bumping it up $75,000. It is also increasing the phase-out of the deductible amount, which is increased from under current law, $200,000 of the value of the property, and it's increased up to $400,000 for those three tax years. And then the final component, which wasn't in when we discussed, but this doesn't really affect I mean, it affects the fiscal aspect for Oregon, but it doesn't affect the tax code per se. It's just that they set up a state fiscal relief fund of $20 billion for states. And so we will get a share of that, roughly about 1%. And then that $20 billion is split out, where $10 billion is for states to be used for essential government services, but the other $10 billion has to be used for Medicaid. So these are all the major components that came out of the conference committee on the federal law changes. Are there any other questions on that, per se? If not, I'll just kind of briefly give you this here. Kind of hard to see on the screen, but basically with this is the distributional breakdown of the 2003 federal stimulus package. And really what this is designed to do is really help you see what kind of changes that Oregonians are going to see in their federal taxes. Because as we can see from our feedback effects here in Oregon, which is the fourth column here where it says Oregon tax increase, this shows you how much feedback effect Oregon gets. And as you can see here, in this is for tax year 2003, we're getting $11.76 million in feedback effects for this 1 year. But you can see the average increase for of Oregon tax is, you know, $7.52. But what you can see here is as far as the reduction in federal tax liability at the federal level is $1 billion for Oregonians. And the average reduction here of federal tax is $640. And as you can see there, if you look at all these tax returns, you know, these upper income brackets are really the ones that are absorbing the most of the tax increase. As you can see, those with incomes above $200,000 and more, the average tax increase is $11,000.
Decrease?
Hello. Excuse me. And then, you know, you can see that the lower income Oregonians, those, you know, with like, say, $10,000 to $20,000, you know, their reduction is only $31. I mean, this small reduction at the lower end is really why we don't have much of a feedback effect. In order for us to have much of a feedback effect, you've really got to be targeting, you know, these income groups, about $20,000 to $50,000. And you can see that from just here, the Oregon tax increase as far as total really is coming from, you know, these four income categories, which is $20,000 up to $75,000. And again, as you can see, the you know, joint returns are really the ones that are benefiting the most. The Oregon families will have a reduction here on average of $980, where single returns will have on average $239. So I guess the important point to just, I guess, realize again is just how that federal tax cut is targeted really does have a direct impact then on how much feedback effect that we're able to get here in Oregon from that, because of the limitation we already have on that federal tax deduction being limited at $3,500 right now in 2003.
Okay.
And then finally...
So, could I ask a question?
Sure.
I take it from what you just said that the primary effect on Oregon income tax is as a result of people's federal deduction, federal tax deduction on Oregon's income decreasing, and that therefore has an effect of increasing the Oregon net income, which results in more Oregon taxes being paid.
Yes.
Are there any other effects, or is it just that one?
Representative Barnhart, that's all I have captured here in this model, is just those feedback effects from having a lower federal tax liability, and then they can't subtract as much on their federal tax subtraction.
Thank you. Well, maybe I should ask, are there other effects, or is that really the only one?
Representative Barnhart, I'm getting to that, okay? Because that's what the next sheet here is going to talk about, the depreciation changes. So this kind of summarizes it. That was just giving you a distributional breakdown of those feedback effects. Now, this one, basically what this is designed to do is really help you see when we capture all the different components, which is, in particular, the depreciation changes are the ones that have a direct reduction in Oregon's taxable income. So this first section here is looking at the static revenue impact of the bonus depreciation, because, again, we're expanding it to 50%, and we're extending the number of years, and then the 179 expensing expansion. So in 2003-04, what you see here is that the total reduction here is $32 million. I'm just looking at it from a static perspective, corporate plus the, any small businesses who have a reduction in their personal income taxes. And then you can see it's going up slightly in 2004-05 with a loss of $38.9 million in revenue. And then you can see, as we've talked about before, what you see with these depreciations, you're taking it more up front with your property, so then in the future you don't get as much depreciation claim. So in the outer years, we're going to be seeing positives then. And so in 2005-06, we're going to see a gain of $850,000. And then in 2006-07, it's a gain of $20.6 million. Now, what we also did is try to capture some of the OTM dynamic feedback effects. And this is really looking at, with these depreciation reductions, you should be seeing then some expansion of corporations wanting to invest in equipment, which will then cause additional stimulus for the economy, and that's what we're trying to capture here. And this, again, we phase this in over 3 years, and depreciation changes cause an additional impact to the state. So it's an increase here of state economic activity of $1.21 million in 2003-04 to cause then an overall total static plus this dynamic feedback effects in 2003-04 of $31 million. So it went down from a loss of $32 million as just a static impact in 2003-04 to $31 million. And these feedback effects grow, but then they're also going to switch as then we see depreciation not see as much stimulus then, because the bonus depreciation is going away. So then we see a negative here, like a $100,000 in 2005-07. So that causes a reduction then in the positive benefits in the future. So overall here, you can see in 2003-05, from just the depreciation changes, we're going to have a reduction of $66.8 million in 2005-07. Then it becomes a positive. So we're going to have an increase in $19 million. And then in 2007-09, an increase of $31.6 million. So now to combine it, that again is just the depreciation changes and the direct result of having lower taxable income here in Oregon. So now to look at then the reduction in federal tax liability, which I was just showing is a positive here in Oregon, then and this increases personal income taxes by $17.6 million in 2003-04 and increases by $10.7 million in 2004-05 for a total overall net increase, overall net decrease in 2003-05 biennium of $38.5 million. And then in the future bienniums, these depreciation changes will have a positive effect here in Oregon because they won't be taking as much depreciation in the future. So in 2005-07, you see an increase here of $30 million, and in 2007-09, you see an increase of $50.4 million. So this just kind of summarizes it all, that you've got these negatives, reductions due to these depreciation changes and these stimulus to the economy, and then trying to capture in some of those feedback effects is what you have here with the dynamic feedback. And then we have to also incorporate these positive feedbacks to just the income tax system, where the Oregonians will be having less federal tax liability, so they won't be able to claim as large a reduction in the federal tax subtraction.
The window of opportunity, though, on the depreciation schedule without the bonus is very short, then, for business. Mm-hmm. In other words, 0305 is it?
Mm-hmm. 2004, and it has to be put in service by January 1st of 2005. Yeah. But it does extend an additional year from what we have under current law.
Uh-huh. All right, any other questions?
Madam Chair. Could you do a feedback on the dividends and capital gains?
Representative Haas, yes, that was part of the components. When I did all of the Section 2, I did Section 2 and Section 1 together, and those became the, you know, total personal income tax reductions. Okay, well, are we ready to go on? I'll just briefly talk about the Multnomah County local tax. Now, basically, with the Multnomah County local tax, again, we've got these same feedback effects, and what it's derived from is because of the deduction that is being allowed for any local income taxes. It's at the federal level, and it's because of that our connection with the federal law changes, you know, and in any deduction that is allowed at the federal level, then we connect to that. So since they are allowed to have the local income taxes claimed as a deduction, then this Multnomah County levy will then be claimed here in Oregon and will feed through as and also the state level. Now, just so everyone's clear, when we calculate our state income taxes, we add back our Oregon state income taxes. So that is a, you know, important thing to remember. At the federal level, we get those state income taxes claimed as a deduction, but when we calculate then our Oregon state taxes, we do not, you know, have a deduction in there for our Oregon state income taxes. But this is going to allow this will not be added back as Multnomah County local income tax. Now, the Multnomah County taxes, as most of you know, it's a three-year tax for 2003, 2004, and 2005. It's at a rate of 1.25%. It's assessed on Oregon taxable income. Okay, so basically with the local, when Multnomah County residents will be calculating their local tax, they will have embedded in it they're also their deduction that they're allowed for their local income taxes they pay. And then also you've got an income exemption amount, kind of like a standard deduction of $2,500 for singles and then $5,000 for joint returns. So that's just taken off of your Oregon taxable income. And then basically what was estimated by Multnomah County of the money that could be generated from this tax each year was $135 million. Now, when we look at what could be the impact then in Oregon of having this additional deduction, first of all, we made an adjustment because not all Multnomah County residents are going to be itemizing on their returns and would be allowed this deduction. But what we do see is that roughly about statewide, about 75% of the Oregon tax is paid by those who itemize. So that was the adjustment that was used in order to look at how much would be roughly. We were assuming there would be about $100 million each year that Multnomah County residents would be claiming as an itemized deduction. So the amount of revenue lost then to Oregon State income taxes is in 2003-04, $6.6 million, 2004-05, $7.3 million, and 2005-06, a reduction of $8.1 million, for a total of $22 million for those 3 years. So basically, these are things that are going to get incorporated now into current law. I mean, these are estimates that we'll be giving to Office of Economic Analysis and stuff as far as what kind of changes have been made now at the federal and local level on income taxes.
Elizabeth?
Mm-hmm.
All right, questions?
Could you refresh me on why there's the tax reductions here? Is that because of the total taxes paid?
Representative Hass, you mean as far as Multnomah County?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's our connection with federal tax code. And so since federal tax law allows any local income taxes to be deducted on the federal tax return, then Oregon is conforming with that. And we have not specified in our law any add back like we have with the Oregon state income taxes.
Oh, okay. Well, it's like it's time for another tax law, huh?
Let me clarify that. I thought that meant that you added back into the state taxes.
Representative Verger, we add back the state income taxes. Okay. But the way our law is written, it doesn't say all income taxes in Oregon. I mean, you know, it is not clear legally that you were supposed to be we would be adding back all state income taxes. It just says Oregon income taxes, and according to legislative council, that would not include Multnomah County income tax.
Oh, yeah.
We would need additional legislation if you wanted to
know. That's really simple.
It may be, Madam Chair, it may be time for another amendment to the Oregon Tax Code.
Isn't anybody here at this committee being in Multnomah County?
Well, Okay, that's it.
All right, that's it?
That's it.
All right. Well, you are just too good at your job, I tell you. That's just all I have to say about that. All right. Well,
Madam Chair, if I could just close, that if you look at the numbers that Lisbeth's produced here, it means that the close of session forecast is going to be down $52 million. So that's $52 million down from the May 15. So these numbers will go into your final budget solution. And it'll show a minus 52.
Now, that was an expensive fix, then, to make the accountants happy, wasn't it?
52, where are you getting the 52?
That would be summing up the minus 38.5 on the federal package and the minus 13.9 for the Multnomah County deduction.
13.0405. Okay. 13.9.
Uh-huh.
I'm writing myself notes so when I get back to the office I can remember what Paul said. All right. Is that it? All right. Well, if there's no other business to come before the body, I'll call the meeting here.